It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, October 12th. I'm Patricia Naft. A mine near Crested Butte that was under the care of the EPA recently leaked, spilling about 2,000 gallons of contaminated water into a nearby creek. The Standard Mine spill happened almost exactly 1 month after a separate spill near Silverton. The Gold King Mine spill sent about 3 million gallons of contaminated water into the Animas River, 1,500 times more water than last week's spill. Major cleanup actions at the Standard Mine Superfund site finished in 2006. The Colorado Health Foundation recently gave out $2.9 million in grants to health clinics across the state, including one in Montrose. Tanya Weinberg is with the CHF. She says that Northside Child Health Center in Montrose was awarded $150,000.
They are located within an elementary school in Montrose, and they serve kids up to the age of 21, as well as a few parents and guardians. And they have on-site behavioral health providers, as well as a dental hygienist, so they can really take care of all of a child's health.
The Mesa County Health Department also received a grant to help with a new clinic being formed inside the department. Mail-in ballots will be arriving in voters' mailboxes soon. In the North Fork area, voters will be asked to consider an issue regarding water and taxes. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The North Fork Water Conservancy District manages the Paonia Reservoir, as well as some canals and ditches. They're funded through two distinct mill levies, but each one can only be used for certain purposes. Right now, they don't have enough maintenance money, and they've got extra money for loan payments that they're not using. I sat down with Tom Alvey, the president of the North Fork Water Conservancy District, about why they put this issue to the voters.
We have an ongoing problem at the reservoir with sediment buildup, and that's our number one problem, and it's something that we don't yet have a solution for, but we're working with the Bureau to try to figure out a way to minimize that. And that's going to take a substantial expenditure. We're going to have to be putting money into that project for the foreseeable future. So that's one of the big things that we'd be able to direct funds towards. The other issues are just maintenance and improvements on the systems that we have. All are getting pretty old. They've been in service for over 100 years, and many of them have headgate problems or issues with their distribution gates, things that can be modernized and improved if we have money to help the process. And in many cases, what we really need is to have access to some funds to be sort of seed money to get other grants to allow the ditches to qualify for improvements. So one of the things that I think it's important to note is that not only would this money be available for making improvements, but we would also, if this passed, be able to accept state grant funds that we're currently restricted in using by Tabor.
A statewide ballot issue will also be looking at another Tabor issue. In that instance, the state of Colorado collected more money than expected and is asking voters whether or not they can keep it. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The Republican field to challenge Democratic U.S. Senator Michael Bennet in 2016 is still very much up in the air. As Benta Berkland reports, some possible contenders have not ruled out entering the race.
Senator Bennet's seat is one of 10 that Democrats nationwide must defend next year. But so far, Republicans don't have a clear frontrunner. The GOP's brightest prospects, Congressman Mike Kaufman and Arapahoe County District Attorney George Brockler, are not running.
Republican strategists around the country look at Colorado, perhaps only in addition to Nevada, as their pickup opportunities next year with respect to the U.S. Senate. That's all theoretical, and elections are not conducted in theory.
That's nonpartisan independent political analyst Eric Sonderman. While vulnerable, he thinks there are other factors impacting the race in Bennett's favor.
It is a presidential year as opposed to that off year. Democrats in Colorado and in most other states tend to fare better in those presidential years with big turnout.
Chairman of the state Democratic Party, Rick Palacio, feels the lack of a big-name entrant is an early boost.
The fact that they are lacking really a credible or viable candidate on the Republican side for the U.S. Senate says a lot about the Republican Party in Colorado. They have been in disarray for some time. They lucked out in 2014 in finding a candidate that they could rally behind and that ran a good campaign and that took advantage of really a low tide for Democrats.
That's when Congressman Cory Gardner defeated incumbent Senator Mark Udall. And with a divided electorate, Palacio says Colorado is still a battleground state. Republicans say it's much too early to make any predictions on how tight the race will be. Party Chairman Steve House expects other candidates will emerge.
Our job is to make sure that each and every candidate who enters the race knows that we're here to support them. We support them all equally. It's going to be an exciting race either way because I think 16 is going to be a good Republican year. I'm very, very optimistic about our chances of defeating Michael Bennet.
Former GOP state chairman and political consultant Dick Wadhams shares the same view and thinks a robust Republican primary for the Senate nomination is a positive.
I think a wide open primary with a lot of different voices and candidates will be good for the party. It will generate interest. And from that, I think a good nominee will emerge.
The most high-profile candidate for the Republicans is State Senator Tim Neville from Littleton. He's a strong gun rights advocate, supports fewer tests in public schools, and ran a controversial and unsuccessful bill last session that would have helped parents obtain additional information from schools on everything from curriculum and medical decisions to school performance records.
We're not going to shy away from issues, whether it be issues that we brought up last year in the Parents' Bill of Rights, issues that are important to life. We don't feel that we need to shy away from those. We need to actually have the honest debates there, and we feel that the American people are ready to have those debates too.
While Democrats say Neville is too far to the right to win the moderates necessary for a victory, GOP Chairman Steve House says time will tell.
You know, Tim's going to have to make his case just like any other candidate would make it, but I'm not going to pre-label him too far to the right because I don't know his specific stance on issues in detail yet today.
Whether it's Neville or El Paso County Commissioner Daryl Glenn or former Small Business Administration head Greg Lopez or someone else, Dick Wadhams says the eventual nominee must have a broad message.
And you have to be able to talk about your social positions in a way that does not repel those who disagree with you, the independent voters. So I think Cory showed Republicans, and before him, Wayne Allard and Bill Owens showed, that you can be a strong conservative, even a social conservative, and still win in Colorado. But it's how you campaign. It's the priorities that you convey to voters.
Wadhams also says successful GOP candidates have embraced topics not typically associated with the right. During his Senate campaign, Cory Gardner highlighted his support for renewable energy. Eric Sonderman says that's a good model for the party heading into 2016.
The only statewide Republican candidate to win a high-profile race in the last decade or more was Cory Gardner, and he spent most of his election year running away from the fringe and trying to become as centrist as possible.
Candidates are running out of time to jump into the race, to raise enough money, and build the necessary infrastructure to win. Other well-known Republican names that have emerged recently include Senate Majority Leader Mark Scheffel, who would not comment for this story, and 3rd District Congressman Scott Tipton, who said he's very happy where he is, but they're not closing the door on any potential opportunity. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.